Thanks a lot, Paula, and thanks for the opportunity to talk to you here today. Although I'm not sure I quite agreed for the after lunch slot, so hopefully everyone's still awake after that beautiful meal. But I think what I'm going to talk to you about today will hopefully get you thinking differently about agriculture and where it's headed. So there is a bit of buzz around ag tech at the moment, I'm sure a lot of you would agree. And unlike Bruce, farming is in my DNA. So all my family are farmers, most of my friends are farmers, so the conversations tend to be all the same. And I was an agricultural scientist for 8 years myself, so very passionate about farming. So I find it actually quite amusing that there's a bit of buzz around it at the moment. And I think farmers are the most innovative and always has been, you know, like the Inca farmers all those years ago with the terrace farming and, you know, the selecting of the potato breeds and how they improve genetics so quickly. Farmers have always been innovative. But I think there is a few reasons, well, why I think there's a bit more buzz around ag tech at the moment. So I guess with the mining downturn, people had to turn to other sectors. Even the big four consulting firms, they're all desperate to get into agribusiness at the moment while there is the bit of the downturn. A lot of interest globally, of course, in food security issues. As data and connectivity issues in the bush improves, obviously the technology that can be delivered on farm is going to be enhanced. And finally, the most important reason I think there is this buzz is that we don't want to just be exporting our raw material. There's lots of opportunities for value add and improving the supply chain efficiencies so that our farmers can remain competitive. And I think with that last part, to really make this happen, it's going to be, you know, require, you know, a concerted effort, particularly a lot of collaborations between researchers and tech companies with the growers. And this is what led myself and my business partner, Peter Ross Deutscher, to establish AgriStart. We really saw this gap where perhaps, you know, what the technology companies thought was what farmers were needing, potentially didn't fit in with the farmer business case. So we really established AgriStart to bring these parties together, to drive collaborations in the sector, to build skill development, build capacity, hoping that this will help a lot of our tech companies to develop export-ready businesses, improve regional innovation, jobs in rural areas, and hopefully make WA, you know, a real player on the world ag tech scene as well. So the way AgriStart's gone about this, particularly this year, our focus has been on the Harvest Ag Tech Accelerator programs, which some of you may have heard of. We're so grateful to the generous support of our sponsors for these programs because we don't take equity from the companies. We rely heavily on sponsorship and we don't charge participants. So to make these programs happen, particularly to get it off the ground here in WA, Department of Primary Industries was just, yeah, instrumental in getting this off the ground. So our program really relies on goodwill. I was just telling a few people my table that we had over 20 speakers give up their time voluntarily to come out to Mures for our program a few weeks ago. So I think the goodwill in the sector is really important. And the key thing about our accelerator programs, I guess, is that we bring together businesses who are working on new technologies for agriculture. We take them through a structured program. So we've got one running in Perth at the moment and the Muresk one that we just had. And quick plug for the facilities at Muresk. They were fantastic. The businesses and Peter and myself had an absolute ball out there and got a lot out of it. And just continuing this theme around the buzz around ag tech, we were quite surprised. We personally weren't that surprised, but perhaps some of our sponsors were surprised that we had more than 150 inquiries for these programs and quite a few applications as well. So for the three programs, we had over 60 applications. So there is a lot of interest in this sector, a lot of companies coming from other sectors into agriculture that are keen to get a foot in the market as well. And just a quick plug for our showcase event on the 29th of November. So this will be an opportunity to see the ag tech companies and the sort of innovative regional businesses that we've worked with on display. And I'll try and get the email list from Paula and send out invites to you all. But just quickly on the features of our program, it's very interactive. Workshops focusing on a range of topics, a lot of focus on investor readiness. Because there's a lot of talk, I think, that we need more venture capital funds for our startups here in WA, and that's all well and good, but a lot of the companies that I've actually worked with, they're just not ready, they're not sure what they need, and so we really work heavily with them on getting them ready for investors. We work closely with farmers, we make sure that there's a lot of input from growers and agronomists into, understanding how the technology these companies are working on can actually make a difference on farm. So getting that grower feedback is really critical into our program. And just, yeah, a big thank you to all our speakers in the program because they're the ones that make it a success. I call myself the connector, I bring in the experts to work with the businesses. And just a quick thing about, I guess, the regional innovation programs that we're running. Again, there's a lot of interest around this in regional WA. We've had more than 100 attendees across 5 workshops just this year, and people are calling out for more of this type of work. They want to connect to other innovators in the region. They're looking to do more on-farm, off-farm, looking for ways to innovate within existing businesses or to start new ventures, and that's what our programs are all about. If you still don't believe me that there's a bit of a buzz around ag tech, the ag tech meetup group in Perth has over 750 members, and that's only been established about 18 months ago. So that's a very diverse group, I'll say. So there's, you know, a few farmers in there, but it's really basically people in Perth who have interest in ag tech in some way. And I encourage anyone to get involved in that group. We've got another meeting coming up on Monday with Mike Breers from the Food Agility CRC. So look out for that. And there's lots of other stuff going on in WA and across Australia at the moment, which I won't go into, but I just think that there is this big buzz at the moment around ag tech. But we need to think about how much of it is hype and how much of it is actually real opportunities. So I would actually say drone is probably, yeah, one of the most overhyped technologies at the moment, particularly in agriculture. Most of the farmers I talk to say, I do not want to see another pretty map because what do I do with that data? So the real opportunities, particularly around drones, is going to be the first company that can turn those pretty maps into some usable decision-making tools. That's where the gaps are still at the moment. So being able to quickly digest all that data and turn it into something that a farmer can really quickly make a management decision on. And hopefully some of the companies will nail that quickly. And just in terms of for the sector, people like Airbus are coming into WA. That's, of course, going to hopefully, you know, provide some more opportunities for the drone companies here in WA. So look, I don't think we're going to see rampant robots anytime soon. I personally would love to see more driverless tractors and trucks. I always get stressed around harvest and seeding time with the long hours that my friends and family are putting in. And I think as soon as the costs come down, this is one that you will see implementation very quickly. So it's just going to be a matter of getting those costs down, and I think we'll be seeing it happening sooner rather than later. The example of the swarm farm guys up in Queensland, you know, they've really disrupted that idea of the boom sprays getting bigger and bigger, and how can we actually go smaller, lighter, faster, and driverless. So I think these are areas where we will see farming practices change quickly. Look, you can get sensors for just about everything these days, whether it's for fences, tracking animals, measuring water, temperature, humidity, everything. Again, it's all well and good to be able to measure these things. It's what you do with the data. And I think the key things for some of the sensor technology that I'm seeing is making sure you've got a really user-friendly interface, very clear on the value proposition for farmers, whether or not it's, you know, a safety benefit, money saving, time saving, making sure the tech companies really understand the place for these sensors. Precision agriculture is one that, you know, just gets me every time because the technology has been around for 20 years or more, but the adoption has been really slow. And for those of you who like Twitter, like Paula, madly tweeting away right there, this was a post by Mick Fells, who's a farmer down in Esperance. And for those who don't know Mick, he's actually developed his own app. So a very tech-savvy farmer. And he posted this tweet in the middle of seeding, you know, why doesn't John Deere understand we don't have an IT department on farm? So if a farmer like Mick is frustrated by how complicated some of the precision ag technology is, then, you know, the average farmer is going to struggle. So, you know, the technology is there. It's, again, putting it into a format that's going to be user-friendly and not break down. Yeah, blockchain, I think, is something that people are interested in no matter what sector you're from. Agriculture is one where I see huge opportunities for blockchain. You know, everyone cares at the moment where their food comes from, and the ability to be able to track that with blockchain, I think we'll see a lot of players in this space coming forward. And of course, there's lots of new industries that are just waiting to be discovered, whether it's camel milk, hemp. I think everyone's quite excited by the novel things that we can be doing. And it's about working with these companies and creating cooperatives so that we can have a sector for them. And I think the key to all of this is really making sure those technology companies are starting from the problem and not thinking, wow, I've got this cool technology, why won't the farmer want to use it? They need to be solving a problem for the farmer, and that needs to be how the technology is designed. And really getting input from the farmers into the design of that technology from the start, doing trials with them, I feel this is going to be the key to success. But also, of course, farmers need support in using these new technologies. So collaboration at all levels is going to be critical here. And just finally, coming back to, I guess, I did open to say that I'm a farmer's daughter and all that, so I'm very biased, but I do believe that if you're going to be working in the ag sector, you have to understand that there is something different about agriculture. And I think this example just really provides an example of why farmers are a bit different. I mean, can anyone think of an example of, say, there's a natural disaster at a mine in New South Wales? Would Rio and BHP start shipping off iron ore to New South Wales? I don't think so. So if you're working in agriculture, you have to understand it is a bit different. Is farmers, you know, there is something about agriculture, and they do tend to collaborate quite well. You just need to understand them as well. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you.